We are happy to welcome to the program a talented musician who has been making music for, several decades now. He was the lead singer for Utopia's biggest hit, Set Me Free, and has worked with Todd Rundgren for decades. He's toured with people like Blue Oyster Cult, Meatloaf, Hall & Oates, Cheap Trick, Patti Smyth, Richie Sambora, and more. He's the subject of a brand new podcast that drops today, the Unsung Podcast, a fictionalized version of his life, and he's the host of the wonderful show It's My World and Welcome to It that airs on our sister station, WZLO. Kasim Sultan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you today?
Good. A little crazed in the middle of shows, but, the life of a musician, I'm good. Actually, I'm good.
Well, great. Well, we're looking forward to hearing the podcast. We love It's My World and Welcome to It. It airs on our sister station here.
You know, I have to tell you, I am so grateful that I actually have a radio show. I grew up in listening to radio when I was a kid, and of course, all the time. And to have my own radio show at this point in my life is just, it's such a thrill. I really have to tell you that.
Well, we'll come back to the radio show in a little bit, but let's talk about the Unsung Podcast. What's the advantage of doing a fictionalized story of your life?
Well, no one can point a finger at me, at least not in my family, and say that I'm not happy with that because it's fictionalized. It's loosely based on my life. And the last thing I want to do is get in trouble with my family.
How many people through the years have said to you, Kasim, you got such a great life story. You got to turn that into a book or a movie or something like that.
Not a day goes by when someone doesn't say that to me, whether they're a friend or they're in the music industry. But someone always thinks that, your story would make a great book. Or a great TV show, I don't know if that's true or not. So I think that's part of the reason that I'm trying out this podcast to see. I'm sure that it will resonate with a bunch of the fans. It's just a question of whether it translates into mass appeal across the board.
Well, reading the storyline for it, it clearly. Talks about the struggles that it's like for a touring musician to try and balance having a family life.
Yeah, that rings so true for me because when I was growing up, I started my official professional career at the age of 20. That's when I got my first real gig, and then I got married about 3 or 4 years after that. I married my high school sweetheart, and we started having children. And that was a very, very busy time for me. One of the things that I'll never forget is that we had right after we got married, we booked a 2-week vacation in Maui as our honeymoon. And about 3 days before we were supposed to leave for our honeymoon, there was a Utopia tour that came up, and we had to cancel our plan. And we never got to Hawaii. I felt so bad for my wife, but we never got to Hawaii. We wound up in Bermuda for about 5 days. So it's always a compromise. That's just what happens when you're a working musician, you know?
Is it kind of a double life where you're, hey, I'm a rock star by night, but then, I got to go back because there's a leaky toilet in the house somewhere?
It's so funny that you should say that because one of the things when we were talking about this the podcast when we were putting everything together for the show, I said it's the juxtaposition between living a life of private jets and tour buses and screaming crowds and playing in front of 10,000 people and having somebody bring you your food to your hotel room and make sure that you get on the bus or in the limousine on time, and then you get off the private jet to take a car home, and on the way you get a phone call saying, don't forget the dog has to go out, the pails go out tonight, the garbage goes out, and we need milk. So stop at the store on your way home.
What's the biggest challenge of trying to maintain some semblance of normalcy in your private life when you're traveling the world and certainly living a very different lifestyle professionally?
I've been very, very lucky in the sense that I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or toot my own horn. I don't do that. But I managed to go, I'm free to go wherever I like without getting hassled too much. Unfortunately, you know, the more success you have in this business, the more people want to be around you, the more people want to talk to you and ask you questions and be in your orbit. Most recently, I played a show with Todd Rundgren in Los Angeles, and Ringo Starr came to the show, and he couldn't enter the venue until the lights were down. And he had to leave before the lights came up. Otherwise, he would just get, you know, inundated with people wanting his autograph, wanting to take a picture with him. Now, granted, that's a Beatle, and there aren't very many Beatles left. But it's just a small indication of what someone has to deal with when they have a huge amount of success.
Looking forward to the Unsung podcast, and along with obviously a great story to tell, the producers have assembled a terrific cast of voice acting talent.
Yeah, I am very, very pleased with the actors that we had when we were doing the episodes. It was so great listening to actors bring the scripts to life, and they did a fantastic job, all of them. So you always have a vision in your mind's eye about what it's going to sound like. And then the actual reading of the script and when you're recording it is usually kind of like that, but there's always a new page. There's always something different that an actor will bring to the character, which is really, really cool.
We're talking with Kasim Sultan here on Downtown, the Unsung podcast, dropping today, March 15th. Let's talk about the wonderful radio show more. It airs on our sister station here, WZLO. It's My World and Welcome to It. It really is letting us behind the curtain into a glimpse of that other life.
You know, like I said at the beginning of our talk, I'm so grateful to have a radio show, and to be on in a few markets is just fantastic. It gives me a chance to play music that I really love, and that I always try to play some new stuff that people haven't heard yet, or maybe might not be familiar with. And I'm always turning people on to new music. We have a little chat room for every show that I do. I go into a chat room and chat with some of the fans about the music that I'm playing. And it's just really community oriented, radio, and I tell some stories and relate some experiences that I've had over the years in the music industry, and it's just an hour of really, really great music.
It is indeed, absolutely, and you know everybody, you've played seemingly with everybody in the business, but probably the longest professional relationship has been that association with Todd Rundgren, with Utopia
yes.
Forever. You were the lead vocalist on one of my favorite songs of the 1980s, Set Me Free, just a great song. How have you and Todd been able to work so well for so long together? What's the key?
Well, I think, when we were in a band together, it's a little different being in a band with someone than it is being kind of a side man with him. So I always acquiesce when I'm working with Todd in a side man situation. It's his band, and I'm there to help him realize a really great show and a wonderful show for the audience. And then when we do work together in a band situation, it's an equal partnership, and I get the chance to, you know, bounce ideas off of him. But Todd has, you know, over the years he's created a real broad audience, and there's just so much music from his career that I'm honored to still be working with him after all these years.
I was a big fan of Meatloaf, and we've been fortunate in recent months to talk with a couple of people who worked with him, Desmond Child and Ellen Foley. You were with him for 10 years as his musical director. What was that? What was that ride like being with Meatloaf?
You know, I love Meat. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and really, really passionate about what he does. His whole reason in life was to entertain an audience. And the 17 years that I spent with him in his live band, I have never seen anyone take an audience in the palm of his hand and just control them for 2 hours plus. He knew exactly what to do, and he was amazing artist. You know, and always gave 110%.
You also did a terrific project with a friend of our show, Paul Williams. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys did back in 2015, creating a crowdsourced anthem?
So that was a very, very interesting project that I was involved with. It's no secret that I'm fortunate enough to be in long-term recovery. In this country, there's a lot of stigma attached to recovering from substance abuse. But I am I'm 32 years sober, and I was contacted by a guy by the name of Greg Williams, who was putting together a concert on the Mall in Washington, D.C. to raise awareness for long-term addiction in this country and long-term recovery. Really important, Paul is the simple fact that I was working with Paul Williams was just I really had to pinch myself. He is the most wonderful, wonderful guy in the whole world, a brilliant songwriter, and it was a really, really great project to bring people in from the recovery community to help write an anthem to accompany us for the show that we did on the Mall in Washington, D.C. in 2014. We actually did a version of it on the Dr. Oz show, which was really cool, which I really loved doing.
You have played with so many people through the years, and that always requires a unique skill set to be able to get along with everybody. How much of that came from those lessons your dad taught you about playing well with others and being a professional?
You know, it's kind of something that I don't know that it's like that book, Everything I Know I Learned in Kindergarten. You know, there's a certain level of you know what's right, you know what's wrong, and you got to take that into your professional life, and you try to be as amenable as possible to any situation that comes up. Sure, there's going to be frustrations along the way. There's going to be bumps in the road and hiccups here and there. But you really need to keep a positive attitude and to always show up prepared and with a smile on your face, no matter what is going on in your life outside of the situation, of a work situation. You always have to have a smile on your face and be ready to give 110%.
Like, I don't know how many musicians we've talked to through the years. You'll never forget February 9th, 1964. You've described it as your lightning bolt moment.
Yes. So I was, a couple of weeks before their single dropped, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And my dad brought the single home and played. I'll never forget, I was sitting on my kitchen floor and I played the both at the A side, I Want to Hold Your Hand, the B side, saw her standing there, and I was like, wow, this is like, these guys are like aliens. What kind of music is this? And then 2 weeks later, they did the Ed Sullivan show, and we all sat around the television, my mom and dad, and me and my sister, and it was a lightning bolt that just struck me, and I just said, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do in my life. Everybody else that I was growing up with at the time, you know, became a fireman, a doctor, a lawyer, a policeman, which is wonderful. But for me, I knew at that point in my life that I was going to have a life in the music business come hell or high water.
And here you are still doing it all these years later. You released a new solo album last year. Along with that and the podcast and the radio show, what other projects have you got going for the year ahead?
Well, I'm actually on the road right now with my Captain Sultan's Utopia band. We are playing in St. Charles, Illinois tonight. Tomorrow night is Cincinnati. I get to go home after that for a little bit, and then I start another tour at the end of April. It's called the Gilmore Project. We're playing music celebrating 50 years of Dark Side of the Moon and music from Pink Floyd. I'll do that for about a month and a half, and then I start a Todd Rundgren tour in July. We have some more Cats and Salt and Utopia shows in, at the very end of July, and then I think I need to take a little vacation after that.
Well, that's wonderful to hear indeed. Hey, we're so excited that you're out there making great music still. I've enjoyed your work for a long, long time. We love It's My World and welcome to it, and can't wait to hear the Unsung podcast. Cassim, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being here.